Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Man's Voice here on a Sunday afternoon. Hope wherever you are and whatever you're doing, you can take a few minutes to join us with us. I'd like to say hello to the panel. Hey guys, what's going on? Let's see.
Hey, Frank, David. How are you?
This is Frank.
It's sunny
hello.
And gorgeous in Michigan.
Pardon me?
It's pretty nice in Hawaii too, in Honolulu.
Oh, be still. Be still.
For those
I'm sure
of you,
it's nicer in Miami.
Wow. Everybody's
well, it's
coming.
Supposed to be nice there.
Where, Miami?
Yeah, it is nice in Hawaii, too.
Yeah. Shush.
All right, guys. Seeing that you guys caused a lot of controversy last week when we got off here, my emails and phones started flashing right away. And it seems that a discussion we had last week on men having say into an abortion, and we agreed that men should have a say, women didn't like that at all. They were like, that is not men's, men should not be involved in that conversation, they should not have anything to do with it. And then the cherry on the cake is that Oklahoma last week passed a law that said that women would have to have men's permission to have an abortion, and that men should be included in the whole process, and before a woman can have an abortion, she needs to show up with either the husband or a notarized document from the husband saying that he agrees to that. So for women, they said that, of course, this is taking us back to the dark ages. What do you think about that, Bruce? Do you remember the conversation and where we went? Because we all agree.
Yes, I remember the conversation last week very clearly. And I guess I would only preface it with I think it's unbelievably short-sighted not to have both the woman and the man involved in that decision. It should not be a woman gets to decide alone, nor should it be a man gets to decide alone. You made the human being, started the human being together for whatever reason. We won't go into that. And what happens to that human being has got to be a joint decision. It shouldn't really even be, I guess, in a lot of ways in our hands. But at the very least, it should be the two of them talking and deciding what's to be done. Now, if one of them is totally out of the picture, I know there are differences in that, but if the two of them are there and willing, it has to be a decision made by both and thought out by both. I strongly feel about that.
You know, some of the comments I got opposition to it was that if this happens, you're going to start sending women to the back alleys of abortion, you know, doing things unhealthy for themselves. So this is just going back to the dark ages where men having any say-so in, you know, an abortion will cause women to do harm to themselves. Frank, you weren't here last week when we discussed this, but what do you think about this topic?
Well, yeah, first of all, I want to tell you that, you know, I'm totally against abortion. And, in fact, this morning's service, we talked about life. Being pro-life is pro non-death penalty, non-euthanasia. I will say that the woman has control over her body, and she should make a determination, even though I would be against her having an abortion. I do support her right to do with her body as she pleases. I don't think a man should have an iota of say in it, because most men don't show up to support the child when there are issues in the relationship. That's my experience and observation in the communities that I come from. Again, I think adoption is a...
You said that men don't show up when there's a relationship problem for their children. Did you just say that?
I did say that. That's exactly what I said. Yeah. I think men have a big flake tendency. Flake, you know, as in
so
flake.
Why are they having babies then?
Why do they have to do what?
If the guy is not going to be around, you know, what kind of relationship is that for them to have sexual intercourse and create a life? But then the woman is going to have to end up terminating.
Okay, I didn't get all the questions. It didn't come in loud and clear, but let me just say this. Creating a relationship, you're supposed to do that as a Christian in a marital relationship. So if you're outside of the marital relationship, and that's what I'm really speaking to, I'm not necessarily speaking to a marital relationship, and if it was a marital relationship, I would have a tendency to believe that both people should have a say in the birth or non-birth of that child. But I was speaking to primarily the situation where the individuals are not married.
Right, but last week when we had a discussion, it was kind of full panel that we thought that the man should have some type of rights in, some say so, in the abortion process. And based on the law that was just passed last week in Oklahoma, that's what they were saying, that the public health committee in the state agreed that the dad had the right to block an abortion. So it seems that that's the way it's going. Most of these are unmarried people. We're saying unmarried people. So you're saying that
Oklahoma is a backwards state, okay? So Oklahoma, the Pruitt is the guy that the cowboy state, all right? And I don't think we're going to make it all the way back to where they want to take it.
John, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I'm going to probably just stick with the same thing I had mentioned last week, and that's, you know, before you even decide to have one, I think you got to make a decision on what you're going to do, you know, and that would solve a lot of problems. You know, I would more towards the married people, and especially, you know, it's funny, we had our subdivision meeting today, and I was told them, I said, listen, I got to get out of here. I got to prepare for a show tonight. And they're like, oh, what are you doing? And I told them, I said, we do a podcast. They're like, yeah, asking what the subjects were. I brought this subject up to it, up to them, and it happened to be three women I was talking to. And they said, boy, that's an interesting topic, you know. They said, because, you know, I can see where, you know, she would want to, you know, voice her opinion first and make it her decision. But then, boy, after the kid is born, no, she's expecting for financial support from the husband. So, you know, it kind of goes both ways, I guess. For the single people, you know, that just comes down to, like I said last week, personal responsibility. Don't get into something, don't make a decision or get into a situation where that type of decision is going to have to come up.
Right, and I wish that was the way it's going, but it seems to be going the converse of all that right now, because young girls these days, when you're in school and stuff, kids are like, you know, you got to have a baby. Like, it's a trophy these days, and it's unfortunate. And I don't know why we're not teaching in better, you know, health causes in our schools. I mean, there's a lot of things we're not teaching in school these days, but that's one of them, I think, that we're missing. But a lot of young ladies are getting pregnant, and obviously Planned Parenthood is there for that reason, or lots of reasons, but that's one of them, is to help them out. And up to now, no state had men being involved in making a decision on this whole abortion process. Now Oklahoma stepped up to be the first that is. And we kind of said that, Jeremiah, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
You're the young guy. You know, we talked about it last week. I know where you kind of stand, but now that some state has passed a law, do you think all the states should pass a law of that nature?
I really don't think so. I agree with John when he says couples should be more responsible in the beginning. Whether you're a couple, or just a normal sexual relationship. And this generation now, the women are having, well, girls, little girls are having kids at 18 or less, teenagers. So education is on that part. And public school system, I agree with you. And also, it comes to guardianship, parenting at home with our youth having kids.
Yes. In a world that we all would wish, this would not be happening. We're not nowhere near there. So we do have this issue. So in this issue, do you believe that before a woman can have an abortion, the man should give his say so, yes
no,
or no?
No,
you don't
know? No.
I mean, it's never going to be 50-50. And I don't think all of these cases will be 50-50.
Because you have a lot of cases where the male is not even present when it comes to responsibility or wanting an option.
Right. Your microphone thing is double whamming, so it's kind of hard. But let me throw the flip side of that. Okay, so if a man doesn't have a decision in saying where he wants to be born to the world or not, should he then have a decision on should he be paying for that baby that he didn't get permission to have in the first place?
I mean, now it's going a little bit too far because we have to be responsible with the initial involvement.
So, when you think about your
initial involvement.
Right. Your microphone is really causing a lot of issues. What about Ron? What do you think? Where are you on this? Because there's two sides of this coin. We're saying men don't have some of us are saying men just shouldn't have any say so. But then until the baby's born, he's in court to have money taken away from him to support this child. So what do you think, Ron?
Yeah, I have a pretty hard point of view on this, and it hasn't changed from last week. I think the man should have a say whether the woman gets an abortion or not. And, going back to what I said last week, I do believe that the only time that a woman should have an abortion is if her life is at risk, or the child's life, or both is at risk. Aside from that, I think for a woman to say that it's her body and that she's the only one that's going to make the decision on this is very selfish, because the only reason that I can think that a woman would say that is because they don't want to have to go through the hardships of raising a child. And then shame on them and shame on the man, too, for not thinking this through before having sex. I just think that if a couple is happy together and they're going to have a baby, then there shouldn't be any reason to talk about abortion other than in the life of either one of them, the mother or the child is at risk.
All right. I think we've kind of killed this subject. Do you have any other things to say there, Bruce? I think we kind of killed the subject a little bit, but I think where are you on this, Bruce? I know where you are, but now that we've told you the other side.
I think a lot of what Ron said, David, is appropriate. And it still comes back to unless there's a threat to the woman's life. And both of them are in the picture. Both of them created that human being. Both of them should have a voice in how it is raised from the womb forward.
Well, okay. In our society right now, everybody's protesting. Everybody's doing something. I mean, we're just in a funk about protest. Everybody's not happy right now. So last Thursday, I don't know if anybody felt it, but that was supposed to be Day Without Immigrants. Immigrants were not going to go to work last Thursday. Anybody feel anything by that? I mean, they were protesting saying, let's see how this world works without the United States works without immigrants. So last Thursday was Day Without Immigrants. Did anybody feel anything? Did you feel anything there, Ron? I mean, you're down in Miami. I would think that would be one of the biggest places that would impact. Did you feel anything?
No, no. And honestly, I didn't learn about it until the evening when I heard the news, so I really didn't even know about it.
Wow. What about you, Frank, over in Hawaii? Did you have any issues last Thursday? Or I think you were on the road, but did you feel anything in the travel industry? Anybody, people not working, did it cause any slowdowns or anything?
I did not see it. I knew it was happening. I did hear some fallout. Some people at some places lost their jobs.
Yeah. The only thing that
but
really,
there's a comeback period also scheduled.
Right.
Right.
The only thing that really happened was people lost their jobs. A lot of immigrants didn't go to work, so they were fired. It's unfortunate that that was the way it went, but that's the way it happened. My understanding, I'm getting notes from panelists, there's a lot of echo, so I'm not sure why there's echoes. But
yeah, it's real bad.
I'm hoping that it's echoes on this end, or where is it? I know that I was getting it from Jeremiah. Let me try to do some things. But anyway, let's have this conversation. Okay, so we had Day Without Immigrants. So now the Women's March happened. It was successful for the women's. But do you know that next month in March, women organizers who organized that are planning to do a Day Without Women March next month? How do you think that's going to impact everything, Bruce?
I'm starting to get a little concerned about the only way we're going to try and state our opposition to something now is to be offensive or march on something instead of sitting down and talking to all parties involved and trying to really work something out. I don't see a number of these things really becoming something that's going to result in a real positive solution. You really need to get the two parties together that are either offended or aggrieved or in some way involved and talk it out. And all these other things might make you feel good for the moment, but it doesn't solve the problem.
Right. What about you? I know that in your business, John, that you know that you don't really, but would you think the world could survive with a Day Without Women, which is supposed to happen next month? And do you think women are going to buy into that?
Well, I don't. I mean, do they have a reason why they're protesting? Is it anti-Trump? Is it because they're not getting paid the same amount? Why did they say they were protesting?
They're lumping it all into one because of Trump, because they're not getting the same salaries that men are being paid. Women are not being respected in the workplace. They work more hours for less pay. They're lumping it all into one big pot.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, in the construction industry that, you know, I'm in, I work some serious hours and digging some trenches and burying wire and everything else as an electrician. So, I mean, hey, if they want to work as hard as I do, I have no problem with them getting as paid as, the same amount that I do. But I just don't see a lot of women in my industry, electricians, plumbers, contractors, or anything like that. So I can't speak for the wage thing. I know my wife does. She's got a really nice job and more of like an IT type of job. And I know she works a lot of hours also. And we really don't know if she's being paid the same as the fellow workers that are men. So I know she'll be working. She won't be protesting. Hate to lose her job, I guess.
Right. I think, you know, with the way the immigrants came out, we already lost their jobs. That if I was a woman and I was on a protest, I would be concerned about would I still be employed the next day. So I don't see it being that successful, actually. You think it'll be successful, Bruce? I don't know.
I think it will draw attention to the subject. So you could say in that regard it's successful awareness. However, it needs to be much more than that. If I had a problem with my boss or a group in my company or support, or my employees had a problem with me leading the company, I would like them and hope they have an environment where they'll come and talk to me about it.
Hey, David?
Yes.
I have to jump in here because I just can't keep shut about this. I think it is going to be successful in the sense that, as Bruce just said, it is going to draw attention to the issue at hand. But I think even in the bigger picture of that, I mean, have you all seen the ratings going down for Trump? I saw this morning that they were less than 40% approval right now. And there's a lot of people that are not happy with the way things are going, and you know, Bruce, with all respect, in a perfect world, I do think that the two sides sitting together and talking the issues out would be the way to do it. But we're dealing with a president who doesn't listen. He doesn't listen to people, and you can't disagree with that. He won't even listen to his national security advisor, you know, because he thinks that he knows he's got the answer to everything. And so the only way I think for people to get the voice out there is to have these marches and to bring attention in the media to the unhappiness of 50% of the country.
But Ron, let's say everybody hates, for the moment, everybody hates what Trump is doing. It's not true, but let's say that. You're not going to address those problems with the President of the United States. You're going to go to your employer and say, look, I've been treated unfairly, et cetera, et cetera. Here's the situation. How do we solve it? So it's more equitable, or what I'm earning is comparable to what I'm doing. I mean, just because you don't agree with what the president is doing, a march isn't going to solve that. You've got to go to your employer to solve it.
And that's right. That's the way to deal with it on an individual case-by-case basis. And I'm sure that many women or many people that are not happy with the situation will be doing that, but the way to advance an idea to the masses, we're talking about the masses here, because if a woman is not happy at her workplace because she's not getting paid the same, yes, she has the right to seek legal advice and sue the employer, but who's gonna find out about that? Nobody's going to find out about that. So, you know, these marches, you know, this is getting this uneasiness about what's going on out into the limelight. You know, and I think it is shedding some light on some discontent of some people around the country.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with the marches, and I'm in agreement that the women are basically screwed. Excuse the expression. And that's because they're in the majority in the United States, and their pay is not equitable to men. And we already have an armed forces where we have equitability to a greater extent than we do in the civilian population. And I think also by protesting, they are sending a message to the government of the United States, which basically has very few women in executive positions in the current administration, that we are unhappy. We're dissatisfied, and it's going to affect the president because the president has a significant ego. So I think that you're going to see protests, significant protests, twice a month. I know that on the April 1st, there's going to be a mail protest, a large protest in Washington, D.C., which I plan to attend. I'll probably be calling you guys from that location. So guess what? It's an outlet. It's an outlet for people like me, who are more than PO'd at what has happened to the potentiality of our country and nation in relationship to other countries, in relationship to people of different religions, in relationship to people of different colors. It is just a sad time in my life in regard to our government and the people that are in power in our government. So I've never before felt like it was necessary for me to personally protest, but yes, I'm part of that group of people, and I'm not going to take a compromise on it, because if the current administrator had a decent education, he would be working that out himself. You know, the other day he was on TV talking to an Afro-American female reporter, and he was asking her to make an arrangement with the Black Caucus because he couldn't reach them. And the member that he was trying to reach was Cummings, and Cummings said, I don't know why the president told that lie. So we've got a problem. And secondarily, the president's basically trying to destroy our fourth arm of government, which is freedom of press. So I guess we would say that peaceful demonstration is the way that we're going to have to be doing until he leaves office, and I hopefully it won't be for 4 years.
All right. One of the things, I think it's something I wanted to discuss. One of the things, we've had this president now for less than a month, going on a month, and I was in my mindset, all presidents go in, they go to work, they get to work, let's see what's going to happen, let's just stand back and give it a break. But it just seems that this president spends a lot of time fussing and bashing people and saying the press is no good. I mean, there's a lot of TV acting, I think, going on here. And I've never seen that from a president before. So I don't know whether it's the press showing us this side of this president on purpose, or is it that all of them went through all this and we just didn't know about it, but that he's actually going to go to work. Because I don't see a lot of work done. I see a lot of politics, a lot of theatrics going on. And is it that the press is giving us this on purpose? What do you think there, Bruce?
Well, it takes two parties to fight and two parties to make it right. The president could do some things definitely different. He is our president now, whether we half of the country or more than half like it or don't like it or whatever the percentage is.
Right.
He is our president. He is our president, and we need to come together. And you know, if the ones that are feel that are so egregiously violated or being treated, they're in the position to probably make the strongest move, because someone that supports Trump or likes Trump, they're happy as can be. They're not going to object to anything. It's the ones that are upset or don't like him or think he's a bad president or whatever that need to make the motion. If the president isn't going to make the move, then they do. They need to go or see or produce help start a solution that works, not just complain and do all the other things that aren't getting us forward.
But how do they?
Well, let me say this right here. It's not on the people. It's on the president. The president's job is to take care of the people of the United States of America. That's all the people in America, whether they be Christian or Muslim, whether they be male or female. It's his job to be in those communities and find out and have people proportionally who represent the interests of those people in the community. This particular president has failed to do that. But he does represent the interest that elected him into office. And so since that is the case, and then what's going to happen in this particular country is the only thing you can do is demonstrate. And you can have state attorney generals, which will continue to happen, that will oppose him in our courts of law. And so I expect there's going to be a whole lot of action in courts of law, including recent actions that are going to come back in regard to the removal of illegal immigrants that have just been removed in the last 4 or 5 days from our country. And I expect that'll go back to court as well on a separate issue. So that's the way it's going to be done. And I think that puts us in good stead in this country, because if you didn't have that, you would have an outright bloody civil war. And so we do have, you know, recourse, and we do have relief valves. And those relief valves are protesting. Those relief valves are taking him to court. And those relief valves are people leaking information from the federal government, being disloyal to this particular person because this person does not encompass all the people of this particular country or a majority of those people of this particular country.
What do you think, John?
Well, you know, first off, I've got to disagree that he hasn't done anything. I mean, he signed, you know, a bunch of executive orders. You know, I watched the signing of the with the coal miners, you know, in the White House, and them guys couldn't have been more happier. You know, it saved tons of jobs. Then you have, you know, with the immigrants. I mean, you've got a court, the Court of Appeals that, I mean, when you read the statute and the way the law was written, for them to rule against that executive order, I mean, you have people and judges on the benches that are pretty much determining because their opinion instead of ruling on the rule of law.
No, this guy tweeted. He tweeted that he was against Muslims, and that's what they took as one of the issues. He did it as a candidate. And he continued it as the president. And they said, just because you become the president, you don't. That doesn't mean you're a new person or a change. That's why they.
Did you happen to watch his rally yesterday in Florida, where there was 8,000 people there and 20,000 people waiting in line to get in? They were there from 4 o'clock in the morning. He read right from the statute or the executive order. The exact thing that was in the executive order, and they ruled against the rule of law.
Hey, no. He went to Giuliani and said, make us a law that'll prejudice and keep Muslims out of the country that'll look like it's legal. That's what he did. He tweeted earlier, which he was against these people. Okay, and that's what they made. That's why it was an unanimous decision.
You know, but that's not
that.
What
it's
was in what was written, and they ruled on.
Let me tell you.
They
what,
did
I
not
was,
have
I
anything.
I had relatives at the airports when these people were in. First of all, there was over 100,000 people that come into our country today, and those people, a lot of them were turned back. They were separated from their families. They did not get legal counsel. We looked like a banana republic the way we did that, okay? He did not consult his staff when he implemented that. Here's a guy that has less than a college education, that didn't consult his staff, didn't have the people in place, fired the attorney general. And let me just tell you this right here. It was a bunch of BS. All right, it's a bunch of BS of what he did, and that's why the courts decided. And they've decided after the New York court went in, the Virginia courts went in separately, and decisions were made similar to what was made in that. So he's had about 10 cases, and 7 of them he's lost. Okay? And it's not the judges. It's we have an ignoramus who happens to be in charge of our country, again, who does not understand that you cannot take laws like that and put a big sway on the system by throwing out people who are part of our country. These people are part
of
the country.
How can they be part of the country if they're illegal?
First of all, the people that are here, us, you and I, came to this country illegally. This country was held by Native Americans.
No, I was born here. My great-great-grandparents, they came here legally through Ellis Island, okay? I am not considered an immigrant because I was born in America, a legal citizen. That's the difference. You have people coming in here who have no legal rights. They want to use our laws to try to get every last amount of dollar that they can.
Your country was taken – this country was taken from Native Americans – and that's how you became a legal citizen. You took the country from Native Americans. Most of this country was occupied by Native Americans and then later by Hispanic Americans on the Southwest areas, okay? And those places were just taken by force. And then we signed treaties that we lied about. We didn't uphold our treaties. We didn't do what we're supposed to do. And the other thing is, from a religious standpoint, we always invite the visitor. The visitor is always invited, whether that person comes with papers or whether he comes without papers.
No, you can't have. Well, I mean, why do countries have borders?
You, that's a religious,
why does the Vatican have a wall?
No,
that's a
wrong,
that's religious. No, I'm telling you religiously. Religiously, you always just like Joseph and Mary had to leave because they were killing the children during the birth of Jesus, you always welcome the stranger. That is part of Catholic social teaching, and it always has been. And
wait,
don't tell me I'm wrong about that, because I know exactly what I'm talking about. I taught the course, okay?
Okay.
People that are wrong. Yeah. Let me tell you something. Let me just say one last thing. The people that are wrong are the people who just commented to me. You are trying to make Jesus in your image instead of us being in his image. His image is you always welcome the stranger, all right? You always treat the stranger. You give the stranger your best foods. You give your stranger your best clothing, not the secondary stuff. And you, if you don't understand that, go back and read your Bibles and see what it tells you, okay? But don't try to interpret it in your image, because that's the problem we have right now.
Well, the only thing I would follow up and finish up with that is that, you know, there are pearly gates at the gates of heaven, manned by St. Peter, and that's a law.
Right.
Well, that's an image that people have made up.
That's right in the Bible. It's in the Bible you're telling me to read.
Well, why don't you go ahead and give me the quote, so we'll have it next week. When you call up, you give me the quote and the page that says that St. Peter is standing at a gate.
Oh, I will certainly
right.
do
I'd
that.
I'd be very happy. I'd be very happy for you to come on.
It says the gates of, let's see here. It'd be easier for a camel to pass through an eye of a needle than a sinner to pass through the gates of heaven. I think that's pretty close, and I don't have a Bible in front of me.
What you said was St. Peter at the pearly gates. That's what you said.
Right. Exactly. That's what I just said. Yeah, the gates of heaven.
You said St. Peter at the pearly gates. This sounds like a Trump conversation, right, where you get alternative facts. You said St. Peter at the pearly gates. Okay, that's what
right.
you said. All right? And you said that was biblical. All right? So that's what I'm talking about.
Didn't I just say it was easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a sinner to pass through the gates of heaven? I don't know if I can be any clearer.
I think you said pearly gates of St. Peter. That's the conversation. If you play the music back that we just recorded, I think
right.
that's where we started.
Right, I'm not denying that.
Not your biblical quote.
Let me get in here, Bruce. You wanted to say something, go ahead, Bruce.
Wow. I don't disagree with what the Bible tells us to do as far as welcoming strangers and so forth. I agree with Frank on that. What I vehemently disagree with is you, Frank, based on what you're talking about, is saying, no holds barred, no rules, no regulations, everybody in, no control. Basically, then, if we were to live in that kind of world, we wouldn't have any law enforcement. We wouldn't need it. And I wish we didn't, but we do. And we would have mass chaos in this country and most countries. So to try and say that we should let in immigrants without a proper procedure is BS. There's nothing wrong with having a procedure and then opening.
We have a proper procedure. It takes two years. It takes 2 years for a vetted person to come into this country, approximately. All right, and they are super vetted right now. And the people that are here illegally are here because wealthy people and some people a little bit below the wealth line have invited these people over to work and do employ them. That's the people we're talking about as ourselves. We invite these people over. That's why they're here. And we employ them. And we don't care that they have papers or don't have papers. All right? That's the way it's been for a number of years in our country. That's why a lot of us get caught up in this. We didn't pay taxes and we didn't know the person was not legally here. But we know the people are not legally here. And that's what I'm talking about. We have a two-faced operation.
All right.
Well, without rules, regulations, and let's say proper procedures, and you can put any definition on that you want, we are in a very bad state. We can't help anybody if we're not a strong community ourselves.
Well, we're getting relief from Canada. They're letting 40,000 people who are trekking in on non-roads, et cetera, over their border. So some of those people are leaving the United States right now because they understand that their families are going to be split up because they've got some people in their families that are citizens, some are non-citizens, and that type of thing. So there are 40,000, and the Prime Minister of Canada has welcomed people to come in, and so they need people in Canada. And we will soon find out we need people also, because there are people that are going to, there are only certain groups of people are going to do the menial tasks that are available that need to be done in our country. And additionally, you can't support Social Security unless you, you have an influx of people. And we've had a low birth rate over the years, and so we don't have enough to sustain ourselves with the people we've got. And so I'm not advocating no borders. I'm not advocating people just walk over. What I am telling you, and I know this for a fact because I have been in communities through my work, through my social active work, I have been in communities where the United States government has invited people to come over during different segments to complete work projects like the Olympic Stadium in Atlanta. That was completed by Hispanic Americans because we were behind the power curve, and anybody that came over during that period of time, the Border Patrol people looked the other way. Right? So we're part and part of the problem.
Bruce,
I wouldn't refute that, but that does not change the fact that we need to be a community and a country of proper rules and regulations to the best of our ability. We're not perfect. We've had all kinds of problems. We've done a lot of things wrong. But if you don't have law and order to put some semblance in what's going on, what do you tell the people that have been standing in line all this time trying to do it the right way? If those people came in illegally and they need to leave, then turn them right around and let them get in line to come back in. I don't have a problem with it if they go through the proper procedure. How else are we going to know in a world that is fraught with all kinds of craziness now? We have to be able to identify what's going on within our own borders.
I have something to say. My grandfather came from the Bahamas, and I'm pretty sure he didn't have any papers when he came over. And he came in through Key West, and the reason why he did is because I understand that was when there were big construction industry going on in the United States, and they needed manual labor. So, you know, the United States lets them in, just like they let Cubans in, because they had a thing about letting certain Cubans in, all right? And so all I'm saying is I don't believe in open borders. I'm not frightened of the terrorist situation. We do a significant amount of screening all through our society, and I think that the current president just wants to frighten people, and I think we have enough people that are willing to be frightened, okay? And so for me, it's a bunch of BS. All right, we haven't had any major terrorists other than American homegrown terrorists, and those people generally look like you, and they look like me. Okay, they don't look like people from Asia or something. So that's been the most problem. Right? And we've had the Ku Klux Klan for years, by the way, and we have never done anything about them, and we've never had the type of concern that you're showing right now.
We've always had a lot of subversive groups of all kinds, colors, and creeds. None of them are good, but they're of every walk of life, and we have to deal with all of them. You can't just conveniently pick out one group or another.
Can I say something here?
Let me jump in. Well, hold on 1 second. You're listening to the man's voice, and there are several of you on the line that would like you to make comments. If you want to, just call 646-668-8740, and you can join this conversation. I got several people I've talked to who don't want to say anything. They just like the conversation we're doing. But if you'd like to say something, give us a call at 646-668-8740. Again, you're listening to the man's voice. Bruce, you were going to say something?
Well, no. I'd only finish it with I and probably everybody else that's listening right now, if we had a because we are in different times now, we have an enemy that's much more difficult to identify. And I'm not pointing fingers at any religion. An enemy that is much more difficult to, and doesn't run in traditional ways that war used to be handled. And I even hate to say that, but it's true. So as a result, we have to be more intelligent about finding that out and protecting ourselves against it. And all of us would be the first one in line to say, if something happens and they want to take over the United States and say, you don't have a free country anymore, and they put a gun to your head, then you're going to be crying a different story.
We've already been taken over by Russia.
I think that was Ron. Ron, did you want to say something?
I want to say something. You know, I'm not for open borders. I mean, that would be stupid for anybody to not realize that we have to have controlled borders. But what I'm opposed to, I mean, and I think it's actually quite ironic that some of the same people that voted for Trump are the ones that are taking advantage of the illegal, quote unquote, illegal immigrants that are working here for dollars, for pennies on the dollar. Case in point, I have to look no further than my own backyard. My brother who voted for Donald Trump, whenever he needs something done in his house that he can't do himself or that he's too lazy to do himself, what do you think he'll do? He'll drive his car up to Home Depot, but because he knows there's illegal immigrants waiting outside, because they know that the quote unquote gringos do this all the time, and they come around and they pick them up and they take them to their home and pay them, you know, peanuts for something that an American worker or somebody from this country would charge an arm and a leg for, and they take advantage of the system. I mean, so I think there's an irony in all of this, and you know, again, I'm not for open borders, but you know, there's people that have been kicked out of this country that so far in the past few days that I really don't think were posing any threat in terms of terrorism or any criminal activity.
All right. I want to move this on a little bit and go into another subject right away and see where we can talk. One of the things that I've been trying to figure out is, why is Russia and the United States at odds in terms of the relationship between the leaders of the two countries? Because in any other time, we would say that's a good thing. But for some reason, we're saying, no, that's not a good time. And then, of course, there's some staff members that are in trouble for treason because they are talking to Russia. So I had to do some research. What is it that's causing all this problem? So I'm going to play a soundbite for you to listen. But first, before I play it, I want to ask the question. What do you think that is causing this rub there, Jeremiah? Why do you think the United States, even some of the Republican Party, are a little concerned about the relationship between the leaders of Russia and the leader of the United States? What do you think that bump is about?
The concern comes in with Trump's previous relationship with Russia, and
but why?
As we can see, how.
Why?
Well, a lot of people believe that Russia assisted Trump in winning the election. It's a lot of different things that transpired years prior, mm-hmm. and as of current,
too. The question would be, why would Russia want Trump as a president? What do you think there, Bruce? What do you think
my honest answer right now is I'm not sure. I'm still trying to figure it out. That's my honest answer.
Okay, and everybody I asked had that same answer. So I did some research, and I'm going to play.
Oh, did they?
Pardon?
Oh, they did.
Yeah. No one. I mean, we all think that it's because of something. We don't know what that is.
But
to help build business,
David.
Wait a minute, David. I think we know what's going to come out of this. Okay, what's going to come out of
your soundbite?
I think it has to do with the oil, and I think it has to do with him being loaned billions of dollars, and I think it has to do with stock.
Okay. John, you have any idea? Because I want to get your opinion on why do you think everyone's uncomfortable with this, but we don't really know why we're uncomfortable. But I would think two leaders of the major countries like this, we would enjoy, you know, they have a relationship, a good relationship, that's good, but we're saying no, something's wrong. And some of the Republicans...
No, wait a minute. We've never had a good relationship, even after World War II, with the Russians.
It depends on what good, it was
Russians
better than...
Are,
it was better than it used
the
to
be. Russians are not a free nation, and they don't have a free press, and they don't have a freely elected government. And we have been a country that has promoted democracy. That's been our calling card for years. So when we are connected with dictators, And when we were attacked with subversive organizations that are there in other countries, we've had a bad outcome.
All right. Let me play the soundbite for you because I think it'll clear up a lot, and then we can talk about it after that. Here you go. Wait a minute. Let me get this thing.
Exxon, for a long time, was the biggest, richest company on Earth. Even when Apple got bigger than them, they were still the biggest oil company on Earth, which lasted until Putin started jailing the heads of the other oil companies in Russia and taking over those companies. Then and only then did Exxon get beat as the largest oil company on Earth when it was surpassed by the Russian government's oil company, which is called Rosneft. And then what happened is those two giant companies, the mother of all oil companies and the mother of all oil companies, those two giants got together to do a joint exploration deal, the biggest oil deal in the history of deals. It was so big it was expected to change the historical trajectory of Russia. It was the deal that got the Exxon CEO Russia's highest award. That deal between Exxon and Rosneft was said to be a $500 billion deal, and that was before they discovered a brand new billion-barrel new oil field in the Kara Sea just north of Siberia. So a $500 billion deal between two of the largest companies in modern history, the two largest oil companies ever, half-trillion-dollar deal, and that was before they discovered a new billion barrels of oil they weren't expecting, and then the whole thing fell apart. Right after they discovered the billion-barrel oil field off Siberia, right after that, the whole deal got stopped in its tracks because of sanctions. That mess with Ukraine and Putin invading Crimea, the Obama administration punched them in the face with sanctions. And the biggest deal anybody had ever heard of, one of the biggest commercial deals in the history of deals, was stopped. The government would be in an excellent position to undo those sanctions. All you'd expect the American Secretary.
Yeah, Obama killed the deal.
Rex Tillerson, the CEO of Exxon, personally holds for more than $150 million in Exxon shares. You know what would happen to those shares alone if the sanctions went away and that $500 billion Russia deal was back on? Do you know what would happen to the value of Exxon, to the power of Exxon, if that got turned on right now? It would be great for Exxon. It would be great for Russia. It would not be so great for the United States. Those sanctions are there for a reason. But hey, who's calling the shots around here now anyway? Exxon CEO Rex Tillerson has never worked anywhere else in his adult life. He joined Exxon in 1975. He's never had another job. So obviously his next job should be Secretary of State for the United States.
Well, money. All the money. So it's a money deal. Everyone, it seems that people are kind of concerned that, you know, there's this $1 trillion deal on the table and Obama stopped it. And so that's why Russia wanted to get Trump in office. That's what has been said. I don't know if that's true or whatever it's gone, but money, if you follow the money, always something happening. What do you think, Bruce?
80% of that tape, I couldn't understand, so couldn't even hear the words. It's the distortion's that bad, so I have no comment. Other than the fact that I won't comment on that, but other than the fact that even our enemies, you know, the old saying, keep your enemies closer. I'd much rather have a position, a relationship, not necessarily labeled good or bad, a relationship that I know more about what my enemy is doing than what they're not doing. And if that means the word a little friendlier, I wouldn't use that word, but some are, to know that, then I'm all for it. That doesn't mean I have to agree with their policies. I don't. I agree with that most of what they do is a lot of things are inhumane and not proper, but I sure want to know what's going on.
Right. Well, because we couldn't hear that soundbite, we'll talk about that some other time. I'll change the subject a little bit. Let's see if anybody...
Hey, David, knows. I'd just like to... David, I'd like to comment on that. That story that you just played, I've seen it or heard it before, and basically what it is that when they invaded their neighbors, the country, we put sanctions on the Russians. Those sanctions prohibited American business interests from being able to do business in Russia with the gigantic oil thing. And there's two large things. They found another oil thing below the area that they're doing, and they've got over 100 billion gallons of oil out of that. So it'll be years and years. And Exxon is basically 50% owner of those oil fields. Russia took some of the existing owners out of the equation by force and put Exxon. Exxon has did the exploration, and they can't get their monies because we have sanctions on the Russians, okay? And guess what? We added additional sanctions when we found out that they were manipulating our electoral process. And I would imagine within 3 to 4 weeks, you're going to see another balloon go up in regard to all these matters. And it's not going to be a one. It's going to be a civil court type thing where it sits in regard to the president and some members of his staff.
All right. But I wanted to move on. So I want to talk about Google. And everyone who has Google, that Google phone, Google phone, are you aware that Google has been recording everything you said since you had Google as a service, or everything that Google had? Are you aware that Google is recording everything that you're doing and saying? Are you aware of that, Rock? Who has gmail.com?
Gmail.com.
Huh? Are you aware? What about you, Jeremiah? Do you know that everything that you've been doing under Google has been recorded?
Yes, I did know. I've heard something similar last year, actually. And you actually know, because it's something strange. When you Google anything on your phone, and you're on Facebook, whatever you Google before, like you're looking at shoes, it comes up on Facebook as an advertisement. So they use it for, I know for sure, for advertisement purposes. So if I was looking at Nike sneakers or basketball shoes, whatever I Googled, everything you Google comes up on whatever website you're on. You could be on Facebook or whatever, any kind of website, and it comes up as an advertisement.
Right. What about you, Ron? Do you know that everything you're doing under Google is being recorded? Even did you know that?
Yeah, I have no problem with that. I'm okay with that.
You don't have a problem with a third party collecting all your information that you're talking and everything and holding it?
No, not really, because I'm not a terrorist, and I'm not thinking of blowing anything up, you know. But I think it's good that they do that, because you know, that way they can track anybody that's using the system for malicious intents.
I'm just uncomfortable with somebody on the phone listening to everything I say and can have it somewhere in the cloud or something. What about you, John? Did you know Google was recording everything you did in business? Everything's keeping all this as a record?
Yeah, I did know. And matter of fact, I think it was, yesterday or a couple of days ago, I was at some place. Well, I was at Carl's Golfland buying some golf clubs. And the next day, I'm on Facebook, and all of a sudden, I got a pop-up that says, "Hey, you were at Carl's Golfland yesterday. Say something nice. Make a nice review for them." So, yeah, I know they are. I've got a few GPS units. I purposely will not register them in my name. I don't care about the warranty. I don't want them knowing, where I'm driving on the GPSs and stuff. Your car is tracking you wherever you go. It knows exactly where you're going. So, yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate. And I guess you could take it, one step closer too. And another topic is that the, we had talked about the security advisor getting fired, Flynn. He was actually investigated by the Obama administration when he was a private citizen. He wasn't in the administration yet. Trump wasn't president. And yet he was being followed by our government on those phone calls when he was talking to Russia. And which, of course, the FBI now has said that he did nothing illegal. So why was he being wiretapped by the NSA talking to Russia before he was even in the administration?
Right.
That's because everybody gets wiretapped. That the Russian ship that's off our coast, that's what it does. It listens to your telephone conversations, anything else, electronics, your radio station, and your TV stations. That's what's been going on for 40 or more years.
Okay.
And the United States has already been accused during the Obama administration.
Let me get in, because in the Google piece, I wanted to make sure that all our listeners know that you can go in and erase all that stuff that Google has by just going to myactivity.google.com, and it will ask you to sign in using your Google password and stuff, and you can actually go in and delete all the information that Google has been recorded, and you can actually listen to it. You can actually go in and get your own file and listen to it. Delete what you don't want anybody to hear, and make sure that your footprint is out of Google if you want to. Bruce, did you have anything you want to say in the last 30 seconds?
Yes. I want to make sure that everybody has, very simply, a great week. Try to think positive, do godly things, and things will improve.
Okay. All right. So we are at the end of the show. I want to thank you for listening to The Man's Voice. We're here every Sunday at 6 p.m. We hope you have a nice week. And from the panel and all of us, have a great week. See you. Talk to you guys next week again.
Have a great week, guys.
All right.
You all have a great week. And
enjoy Hawaii.
Bring back some of that Hawaiian weather with you.
I'll try.
All right.
Thank you.